Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
The last time we were together, I made reference to a passage of Scripture in Isaiah 40, where it says in verse 29 that he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And then it goes on to say, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. This whole notion of the Lord giving strength and power to the weak is, well, it's very relevant and very important to me and has been for years and years, but is especially true in this season of time. You see, one of the things that Scripture is saying to us is not only that the Lord will meet us when we are struggling, meet us in a time when we are experiencing some weakness, feeling weak, but it actually goes further to say that his strength begins to meet us there, possibly in ways that are very different from the way we normally experience the Lord. Now, I wonder if Paul was thinking about this scripture when he wrote these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He begins the chapter by talking about visions and revelations and things that God has done with him, and even that wonderful sense that he was caught up into heaven and he saw things that he's not permitted to talk about. But after he does this, he goes on to say that possibly because of these surpassing great revelations, so that he wouldn't be conceited, he says, quote, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, I need to be honest. I'm not sure I have ever delighted in weakness, certainly not insults, hardship, persecution, and difficulties. I'm not that particularly strong. But I have learned something, and then I've had to relearn it. And that is that in some of the things that I struggle with, some of the weaknesses that I have in my life, that actually, in some strange way, they are the doorway into a deeper relationship with the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that when I'm weak and I pray, that all of a sudden God takes away my struggle, takes away my weakness, or like Paul, takes away my infirmity. But what I'm finding and have found is that when I'm willing to look down the barrel of something that I struggle with, if I'm able to then see that as an avenue into a deeper relationship with the Lord, all of a sudden, everything changes. My perspective on my struggle and my weakness all of a sudden takes on a new dimension. Now, sometimes Eugene Peterson in The Message just puts together the words of Scripture in a way that, my goodness, they just take it to a whole new meaning. So in that same passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he writes this, or paraphrases this, because of the extravagant of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. Three times I did that. And then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take my limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over, and the weaker I get, the stronger I become. That's an amazingly powerful message. Now, in both Paul and Peterson, there is an emphasis on the fact that in the midst of my weakness, by inviting Christ, I become stronger. And that is true. And that is one of the promises of Scripture. But I want to suggest to you that there's another promise here. And the promise is that if we allow it, the weakness draws us into Jesus. And at the end, having Jesus is even more important than having the solution to the very weakness that we've been crying out about. Look, I am a guy with flaws. I am still growing. You'd think at 65 I'd be over that. I still am being healed from a lot of emotional wounds of the past. I'm still having to deal with ways I don't live out of who I really am in Christ. And a couple of the ways in which this manifests itself is there are times in which I struggle and battle with anxiety. I can have attachment issues that raise their head all of a sudden when I'm feeling alone or abandoned. And in this present season, there are these waves of grief that I talked to you about the last time. And all of these, they bring some discomfort into my life. And let me tell you, I often pray, oh God, take it away. Oh Lord, please take it away. Oh Lord, whatever you do today, how about taking these away? But over time, what I've learned is that the greatest grace of God is not necessarily the taking away of whatever it is that I'm dealing with, anxiety or attachment, abandonment or grief, but in the fact that this becomes an avenue to me meeting Him and being more present to Him and feeling His presence with me, that becomes more important. There have been times in the past where I might wake up in the middle of the night with panic or anxiety, especially years ago when I struggled so with that. And I would go downstairs and basically hang on the wall praying. And I can't tell you that all of a sudden my anxiety level went down, but I can tell you that my sense of His presence went way up. And something began to change deep inside of me. And that's very important to us as we begin to move forward in our Christian life. Now, this is a slippery slope that I'm about to go on, but I hope I can say it in a way that doesn't cause confusion. Some of the weaknesses we have are actually gifts of grace. In that, God uses them to draw us closer to Him. I mean, I hate fear. I've struggled with fear in my life in different times and different ways. And I don't like fear. It's no friend of mine. But to some degree, it has been used of God to drive me into Him. And so the very thing I hate has been part of the motivation that brought me closer to His embrace. Now, one of the things that Paul said in this scripture is he began to give thanks for the gift of the weakness that he had actually been praying that God would take out of his life. That's absolutely amazing, and yet I get it. I do. Now, I'm not saying that other trials come that I don't recognize these are not part of God's plan and I want to stand against it and I, you know, want to reject it and pray for deliverance. Those times are there and it's absolutely true, but there are other things in our lives that would radically shift if we could, instead of fighting them, look to God and just say these words, God, as tough as it is to deal with this anxiety or this abandonment or this grief, as tough as it is, I thank you for it because it's driving me closer to you. And that's more important to me than the alleviation of this issue. I'm sure it's been close to 30 years ago that I found myself in a conflict that really weighed heavily on me. Some things were being said that were not true. I worried that it would have an impact on my future and my employment, all kinds of things that were rolling around in my head. And I became almost obsessed in my mind with what was happening. And this went on for quite a while. This isn't something that went away in a day or two. This is something that carried, you know, some real weight in me for some time. I let it eat away at me, and it was getting me down, and I was, you know, worried about what the consequences of this issue might be. And all of a sudden, and believe it or not, it was on a New Year's Day, I was reading scripture, and I happened to be in Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, there is the scripture that comes around verse 65. It says, "Do good to your servant according to your word. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I trust your commands." Well, I can tell you what, I wanted God to do good to me and good for me. But then this scripture, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good." Wow, something shifted in me, and all of a sudden I began to wonder, could it be that the struggle that I've been experiencing and resisting as coming from the evil one actually could be driving me closer to God, placing my feet more solid upon the path, enabled me to be more faithful to God's word? And this thought came to my mind, why don't I stop right now and instead of keep praying about what happened, to begin to give thanks to God for what happened because of the degree to which it was driving me to Him. Now, remember, I'm not speaking in terms of all trials that this is something you do, but one of the things that Scripture is very clear about, that there are certain weaknesses we have. We pray and pray and pray and ask God to deal with it, and He doesn't deal with it. And could it be that this is what Paul is talking about and Peterson is paraphrasing when it deals with the fact that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness? Now, later on in Psalm 119, in verse 71, it actually says, "It was good for me to be afflicted." Well, why? Well, once again, because in the midst of this affliction, it put his feet back on the path. That there was something about the weakness that the psalmist was experiencing that drove him ever closer to God and ever closer to the Lord. What an amazing concept. So, you know, I don't know what your issue is. I know for mine, you know, maybe I'm in a situation and all of a sudden latent old anxiety begins to raise up. And I mean, I start praying like mad and rebuking it and asking the Lord to take it away and trying to get my mind on other things. But if I then stop and remember the degree to which this very issue has drawn me closer to Christ, and I say, "Lord, even in the midst of my desire for it to go away, I give thanks to you, trusting that you're part of this journey," all of a sudden, there is a strength that comes within me, a strength that is actually somewhat hard to even verbalize, but a strength that clearly comes from the Lord. I've been experiencing that. Yeah, I have recently, and I don't want to overstate the issue, but in the midst of grief, and I've wanted the grief to go away, and I didn't want it to complicate my life, and I don't really want to think about it, and sometimes even get worried about it, if I'm able to go to the Lord and turn into Him and give Him thanks that He meets me in this grief, and that somehow in the midst of this grief, He moves in a way that nothing else could have accomplished. And then all of a sudden, in my weakness, His strength is manifested. You know the passage of Scripture in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus talks about seek first the kingdom and all things are then added to you. I've always kind of shaped that to mean that in your day-to-day life, look, keep your eyes open, ask the Holy Spirit to give you awareness of where the kingdom of God is moving so that you can move with it. Let that be your top priority. And I think there's great truth there, but I think there's another truth, that there's a deeper layer to this truth. And the deeper layer to the truth is seek the kingdom in the context of the weakness or the struggle or the trial that you're facing right now. Where is the kingdom moving in this? How is this present moment circumstance an opportunity to engage with the Lord in ways you may have never engaged with Him before. I think that might be part of what Seek the Kingdom is all about, that the present moment and the weakness that often surrounds the present moment is a divine opportunity to be drawn closer into the Lord. And so, if you will, to use the word affliction, the affliction of the present moment becomes an invitation to experience God's presence. And all of a sudden, everything shifts. It does. It just begins to shift. And there comes a point in which you want to say, thanks, Lord. Thank you. I don't think I would have arrived here any other way but this way, because you've met me so powerfully in the midst of my affliction. And so that passage of Scripture in Psalm 119 for 30 years has been very, very important to me. God is good, and all that He does is good. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey Your decrees. I will give You thanks, Lord, for the mistakes I've made, for the trials that I've faced, for the struggles that have sought to overwhelm me, because in that, I experience Your presence in a way that I never knew it before. That's part of the miracle of Scripture. There are times that I've gone in to speak and I've been wrestling maybe with my own issues, and I've learned that in the midst of my vulnerability, grace moves, not just through me, but also in the midst of the moment when I'm speaking. There seems to be an unusual grace that comes when I'm able to be honest with Him in my own vulnerability of my weakness, and suddenly His strength comes barreling in. Some of the most powerful moments of divine intervention in my own ministry have come at times when I didn't know that I had the strength to even move forward, but I offered that to the Lord, and the Lord came. I think I experienced that powerfully recently out in Colorado, needing to do a seminar, needing to be present with folks, needing to represent what was going on at the same time as coming to grips with the news that Mom had gone to be with Jesus. And there was something special, something divinely wonderful and mysterious that took place in the midst of that kind of a moment. So look, I want you to understand, I'm not saying that you thank God for the car wreck and you thank God that the house is burnt down and you thank God that all of a sudden you got a diagnosis you're not happy with. But what I am saying is that in the midst of these things, we can thank God that they draw us closer to Him, that He doesn't run away from us when we're hurt and broken. But in fact, as we talked about in Isaiah 61, this is the very context in which the servant most comes, and He's anointed to really minister to us. Because, as it says in Isaiah 40, He wants to give us power in weakness. He wants to renew our strength. Now, I don't know where you are today. My hope is that you're experiencing some great abundance and joy. But there may be a place in your life where all of a sudden you've been crying out over and over again, oh Lord, take this from me, this recurring sin, this recurring emotional problem, this recurring conflict with another person. Well, maybe you can add another prayer to it. And that prayer is more a prayer of, use this, Lord, to draw me closer to You. Let me find in this the movement of the kingdom that may in fact be a gift just for me. I encourage you to try it, because the Word of God is true, that in the midst of our weakness, God shows His strength through Christ. His strength is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for us in these times. May we learn to open our hearts to that. I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to you about all this, and that the degree to which this is for you, that it would be a seed planted, and then God will allow that seed to grow. As always, I pray that you are able to experience the wonder of God's great grace upon your life and how much He loves you. God bless you until we meet again.